And it was also quantitative. That is, two shorts in a meter equaled one long. And so the so-called dactylic hexameter, two shorts, long, the lines used for epic poetry, that was in effect a simple mathematical equation. That is, the words were worked out to be recited, and the meter itself assisted you in reciting the poem. So that over a 400-year period where there wasn't any writing, poets worked out complicated phrases, whole scenes in some instances. They're known to us as formula, poetic formula, so that when they recited, they could just throw out this formula which assisted them in their composition. So anyone who's read a modern translation of the Iliad always finds that Achilles is swift-footed. Podus ocus, the reason is that fills out the end of a dactylic line. So he's always swift-footed. And you get a number of these phrases worked out. Whole scenes, such as sacrificial scenes, battle scenes, are all formula well known to epic poets who were composing orally and reciting to an audience, you know, the equivalent of maybe 400 or 500 lines in an evening. So these poems are based on an oral tradition. As a result, the names of individuals, descriptions of objects, such as the famous cups of Nestor, oldest and wisest of the Greeks, they're all there. They're worked out. They're remembered and embedded in the poetry. And so a number of points, events, in isolated incidents of that Bronze Age were transmitted to later generations over some 400 years of illiteracy in the Greek world. And it was only in 750 or 700 B.C. when a final poet, known to us as Homer, put the Iliad and the Odyssey in the final form we have now. And I believe he was probably a poet trained in the oral traditions who recited, who dictated. And there's been a great deal of comparison of Homeric verse to the verse of Serbia, of Yugoslavia in the 20th century, where you have similar oral techniques. And this has been examined and studied. Now, the result is that we have epic poems that give us some information, a different look, a distant look into the Bronze Age. But on the other hand, most of the social and economic values, the view of the gods, really reflect later generations. Each generation has contributed to the telling of the poems. So while on one hand the epics record this great siege around Troy, they are very vague on the geography of the Bronze Age. They don't tell us anything about the Hittite Empire. Homer doesn't even know how chariots are supposed to be used. They're used as some sort of taxi cab service to drive to the battlefield, where the two heroes get out, recite long genealogies, decide either they are related, so that they don't kill each other, they go find other heroes, or they are not related and start throwing spears at each other until someone wins, or Zeus might pick Aeneas up and whisk him away for Virgil's purpose. But whatever the case is, it clearly has nothing to do with combat in the Bronze Age. It's a stylized memory. So it's important to stress that the poems have these different layers. Nonetheless, the poems inspired the archaeology that led to the rediscovery of the Aegean civilization, to some extent to the Hittite Empire, because generations of Westerners were brought up on the poems of of Homer and convinced that somehow there was a historical event embedded in those poems, and it was such a man, Heinrich Schliemann, actually owes a great deal to a British fellow named Frank Calvert, who in 1871 commenced excavations at a citadel just south of the Dardanelles today, which is apparently the Homeric city of Troy. I accept it as Troy. Most classicists accept it as Troy. There has been no inscription that says this is the ancient city of Troy, by the way, but it fits all the descriptions. Schliemann's excavations from 1871 to 1882 revealed not only Troy, but was important for revealing this whole Bronze Age civilization. As I mentioned earlier, he found a magnificent treasury, which he thought were the treasures of Priam. Unfortunately, he got the date wrong. He's about, I don't know, they were buried about 2300 BC. He's only about 1,000 years off or so. Furthermore, his techniques of excavation were rather controversial even at the time. If you go to the site today, you'll see that most of the west wall of Troy was leveled. I think what Schliemann could accomplish with a group of Turkish peasants and digging away was far more impressive than the entire Greek army under King Agamemnon. I mean, they just leveled the wall. And most visitors today are really kind of shocked, even if they don't know much archaeology. It doesn't seem to be right that essentially the wall was removed. And to some extent, he was treasure hunting more than conducting excavations.